All right, turn your Bible with me to Acts chapter 19, verse 11, please. If you're like me, we all cherish the name of Jesus Christ. And the reason is because we know that Jesus saved our wretched soul with his blood on the cross. And we cringe when the people use his name as a cuss word or the vulgar. When I get to hang around with the Pima County Regional SWAT team at their trainings, and I hear some of the SWAT operators use God's name in vain as, of course, cuss word. And I threaten them that I'm going to use a laundry soap to wash their mouth. And then they say, well, pardon my French. Of course, it's always French, a chaplain, and they say it. And it lasts about a minute, and they continue again. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ know the power of the name of Jesus Christ. When a believer who loves Christ in the name of Jesus, God Almighty scoops down and gives him the renewed hope in his heart. And a young mother who is holding a tiny little baby is burning with a fever, and she cries out in the name of Jesus. And God of all creation touched the tiny body and reduced the fever and cooled it down. And when the believers are facing unseen spiritual enemy that comes like a flood, the Holy Spirit raised his protection against this attack for this believer. And former addict is facing tremendous temptation to go back to the truth, to drag him back to the addiction. Again, the Spirit of a living God push away the temptation and give him the strength to stand in the heart of man. It all starts with the crying out to the Lord, simply crying out the name of Jesus Christ. You see, many miracles were done in the name of Jesus. Many demons have been cast away from people in the name of Jesus. And many people's sickness been healed in the name of Jesus. Then someone would ask, so it's like a magic spell. You just say the name of Jesus, everything will go hunky-dory. No, it's not. It's not like that. There is a two pre-qualification you've got to have. Number one, if you are going to claim the name of Jesus Christ, you have to be born again in the Lord. Number two, that takes the next thing. To proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he is God himself. Do you understand the difference? Because many cult believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But they do not admit that Jesus is God himself. And there were Mormons, good example, Mormons. There was Jesus is the archangel, brother of Archangel Michael. Where'd you get that idea? It must be in the Book of Mormons. Folks, Jesus is God. And if you deny it, just like any cult, they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. You have to have those two pre-qualifications. Otherwise, you can claim the name of Jesus all you want. Like many of Hispanic people has a name, Jesus. Is it Jesus? Jesus Rodriguez, Jesus Martinez. Does it mean anything? It's just a name. Just name without the person behind is a Jesus. Stops there. The power is not in name itself, rather the Lord behind that name. Am I making sense? This morning we are going to witness the power of God in action against evil spirits. Don't you ever think that the spiritual battle is not happening and maybe it only mentioned on Sunday morning when the preacher talks about it. No, it's reality. If the Lord could open our spiritual eyes right now, right here, we would see the holy angels surrounding this assembly. If you are born again Christian, you will come with your guardian angel. At the same time, there would be demonic angels try to disturb this service. They cannot prevail because our Almighty God stops them. We'll stop here and pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you asking you to anoint our heart to understand your scripture, your text. We believe that the scripture, individual scriptures, are inspired by the Holy Spirit and God breathed. And so we should take everything from your word as inspired, as wisdom from you. Father, let us embrace what you teach us, the truth of God. Father, we are asking you to forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Especially the one who's speaking, Father, we are asking you the anointing to be upon him, that he may speak your truth. And the hearers will not be able to misunderstand anything that comes from you. We also pray for President Obama, whatever it takes to break his heart so that he may turn to you as the only blessed hope. And praying for our troops and law enforcement personnel and firefighters, and protect them as they protect us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 11 of chapter 19, please. Now God worked the unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even the handkerchiefs or the apron were brought from his body to the sick. And the disease left them, and the evil spirit went out of them. These handkerchiefs and the aprons are in the literally sweatband. That is something Apostle Paul would wear around his hair so that the sweat would not get into his eyes. And they were ordinary items, and not like a sacred charms or the prayer cloth. I'm sure you heard the word prayer cloth, like some preachers today try to promote. And you may have seen these kinds of images. Actually, I downloaded this from the website. This particular pastor is well known among the charismatic movement. He's selling prayer cloth. He said, here is a tangible transfer of God's anointing for your miracle. It's a fancy word. What he did is he prayed over this prayer cloth. And because he so anointed the person of God, that his anointing went from him, from God to him, and to this cloth. So if you send them, they said, the very best seed of faith to him, he will send this prayer cloth to you. According to this, $70, $75 or more, or generous gift, and he will send all this thing to you. Now, if you send your idea of, okay, seed, you want seed? I will send you flower seed from my garden. They don't like your flower seed. They want moolah, the narrow, okay? And it's a merchandising God's word for their profit. I'm sure the Lord, when the Lord sees him, he will have a long talk with this preacher. When the Apostle Paul allowed them to take his sweatband, Apostle Paul did not beg for money from the sick people's family so that his ministry in Asia Minor could continue and keep the TV stations open around that area. He didn't ask for a penny. Prayer, listen to me please, prayer for someone should be considered as an honor and privilege. Did you get that? If somebody asking you to pray for that person, it should not be a burden. It should be honor. Because you get to talk to the God Almighty on behalf of that person, interceding for that person. If you think that is a burden and you have to sell it, do me a favor, get out of Christianity. You don't belong here. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. Keep your finger in Acts chapter 19. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. And you may say, well, isn't it harsh for you to talk about another brother? I'm not against that brother. I'm against what he does with the Word of God. Verse 5. Worthless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Get this. Who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. In other words, according to the Bible, do not support that kind of people. I really don't know how the sweatband of Paul worked to heal people. Let me put it this way. Remember when a woman with the blood flow, she thought, if I just touch the hem of Jesus' robe, I'll be healed. And then there were people who were paralyzed and they were sick, and the shadow of Peter was passing by, just glanced over them with a shadow, and they were healed. How that happened? They were healed because the shadow or the hem of robe or the sweatband, they became the point of contact of faith, and that person released faith unto Jesus Christ. It was nothing more than just channel. It might have been started with an accidentally, and you know, people hang around with the Apostle Paul and says, Paul, can you come to my home to heal, to pray for my wife or my husband? And Paul was stuck. He could not go anywhere. I got to go teach at the synagogue. I got to leave now. But here's my sweatband. Put this on the person's chest. Or he put the, I got to go to synagogue. So he untied the sweatband, put it down. I got to go. I'll come by later. Desperate person will do a lot of silly things. They grab the sweatband of Apostle Paul. Maybe they laid it on the chest of the sick person. And person got healed. Because the person believed, and they prayed over, and there was a point of contact of faith, and the person was healed. Somehow it became a pattern of the people grabbing things, Apostle Paul stuff. Probably Apostle Paul could not keep up with all this sweatband disappearing. Remember, the city of Ephesus was full of occult concept from their goddess Diana to the every little so-called gods. The Ephesian believers were coming out of their former belief and not fully understanding in Christianity. God graciously stooped down to meet them even in their crude superstitions. This doesn't mean that the God was pleased with their superstition. Rather, that is, in His mercy, He overlooked their ignorance to meet their need. Am I making sense? Are you awake?
Yep.
Okay. One good example. When I became a Christian, 1987, I was smoking a cigarette. I didn't smoke a lot, but I was smoking a cigarette. I was not convicted. For almost 10 months, I was smoking. One day, the Lord told me to stop smoking. And that was the end of it. I wasn't convicted. I didn't think it was a bad thing. I was in ignorance. The Lord allowed, and when I learned, He said, stop. These people in the same case. We did a lot of dumb things, didn't we? When we were baby Christian. Now, listen to me. Mature Christian, if you see young believer who just came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, don't expect them to do the things that you do. They don't understand it. Instead of condemning them, encourage them to do what is right in God's sight. Okay? All right, let's continue in verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were the seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? There's a good conversation going on there. Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overpowered them and prevailed against them, so that he fled out of the house naked and wounded. Quite a sight. In 1973, some of you remember this. Warner Brothers production released a movie called Exorcist. Some of you old folks remember that, right? And some young guys, what is that? You haven't missed anything, trust me. It scared the snot out of a lot of people, but also it made aware of there is such a thing as exorcism. In that movie, and many other Hollywood movies, God can barely restrain evil power, right? There's a Swedish proverb that I used to say, in pig's eyes, God is God Almighty. Amen? No one ever actually could cast the demon out of the man or woman by their own power until Jesus came to earth. Since then, every Tom and Dick and Harry tried to cast demons out of people. As a matter of fact, during the medieval time, anyone who would stand against the Roman Catholic Church, they were named as a demon possessed. And they tried to cast the demon out of them. By one of the things they do, is punishment was burning them on the post. Please note that demon possession is a very, very real. If you are born again Christian, you have a Holy Spirit within you. Agreed? Okay, what do you think that is? You are possessed, your body is property of Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Then in other words, simply saying, you are possessed by the Holy Spirit. The biggest difference between the you as a born-again Christian who are possessed by the Holy Spirit and the demon-possessed people, Holy Spirit allows your free will to do whatever you choose to do, whether it's good or bad. However, demon-possessed persons are driven by the demons to do unthinkable things. I wouldn't be surprised if the shooter of the Sandy Hook Elementary School or any of the mass shooting are demon-possessed. At the time, there were Jewish exorcists. At the time of the Apostle Paul, there were Jewish exorcists who practiced their trade with a lot of superstition and ceremony. There were a group of traveling exorcists, the Jewish exorcists, seven sons of Sceva. Sceva was the high priest at that time. And they were using the name of Jesus Christ. This is rather unusual and more than anything, rather embarrassing. Why? Because remember, Sanhedrin and the Pharisees is the one who crucified Jesus Christ. Remember that Galilean on the cross? Now, because everything is going well with the name of Jesus Christ, they think, well, maybe we can use his name. Yeah, that makes sense. You crucify him, now you're going to use his name? Anyway, that's what they're doing. Somehow they thought that it was a success of a formula of the success. When I was studying this portion of the scripture, somehow the seven sons of Sceva remind me of the snake oil salesman that I used to see on the old Western movies, like a John Wayne old Western movies. That little bottle can cure toothache as well as some heavy paralysis on the man. And everything in between. One bottle fits for all. Just another scamming artist, just like that prayer cloth. Anointing was transferred from one person to another and prayed to the prayer class. Now he's selling it for $75 or more. Shame on him. Since this traveling exorcist had no personal relationship with the Savior, they had to invoke the name of Paul, Jesus Paul preached, and their scheme did not work. They only knew that Jesus was the God of Paul, not their own. In the same way, there are many people, especially churchgoers. To them, Jesus is the one preacher believe, or the Jesus my spouse believe. Guess what? Unless you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you cannot claim the power of Him. Am I making sense? There's a story. It's a true event. You guys know the President Andrew Jackson? Are you familiar with a preacher named Peter Cartwright? Peter Cartwright was living at that time, at the time of President Andrew. He was a young preacher at the time, and he was the pastor of that one church in Washington, D.C. So Andrew Jackson chose to attend his church one Sunday. So, of course, the elder of that church went to their preacher because this preacher was known to speak forth and straightforward, not beating around the bush. Anyway, so elders told him, President Jackson is here. Please watch your P&Q when you talk. He nodded his head. So elders was convinced that he's going to behave himself. Anyway, preacher got behind his pulpit. The first thing he said, I heard that President Andrew Jackson is here. I was told to watch what I'm going to say. And then he said, if the President Andrew does not receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he will burn in hell. Wow, my kind guy. It doesn't matter whether you're president or you're a beggar. If you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you will do have a same. It will happen to you same time. Same thing. In addition to that, you cannot fight against your spiritual enemy, demons, with someone else's spiritual weapons. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, please. In other words, because you were born in a Christian family, that allowed you to have that ticket to heaven. It doesn't work that way. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37, please. Chapter 17, verse 37. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the power of the lions, from the power of the bear, he will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and that the Lord be with you. He's a coward. So the Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword and to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. David said to Saul, I cannot walk with this, for I have not tested them. So David took them off, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and took them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had. His sling was in his hand. He drew near to the Philistine. You see, Saul's armor was made for Saul, who was a 52 extra large. And David was a 36 regular. Of course, he was drowning in Saul's armor. And bronze helmet that Saul had was a kind of, by the time he put it on his head, it was coming down to his chin. He could not see anything. It was not working for him. He could not use somebody else's armor. However, David did not go into the battle without armor. You see, he had a helmet much better than Saul's helmet. He didn't have a bronze. Saul had a bronze helmet, but David had the helmet of salvation. Saul had a coat of mail. David had the breastplate of righteousness. Saul had the sword. David had the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In other words, David had the whole armor of God. Am I making sense? Get your own spiritual armor. Get your own spiritual weapon. You cannot use someone else. You cannot ride on someone else's spiritual coattail. And you know this famous battle. One of the smooth stones of David sank between the two headlights deeply. And of course, Goliath was stoned, now cold, literally. And as he was falling, this Goliath's armor bearer saying, "Timber," because he's so big, and going down the hill. Did you know? Did you know that Goliath's nickname was Golly? So when he was dead, his friend said, "By golly." Yes, it's a corny joke. But it works every time. When this Jewish exorcist tried their method, apparently evil spirit knew their enemies. Enemies, Jesus and Paul. And they also knew that these seven sons of Sceva did not have authority and the power to cast them out of this man. And what they were doing, and the evil spirit also knew that what they're doing is nothing more than cheap imitation. God used the scheme to defeat Satan and to bring the conviction to believers who are still involved in the magic arts. Instead of disgracing the name of Jesus Christ, the event magnified his name and caused the word of God to spread even more rapidly. Evil men, bad people meant evil, but God made it good. Go down to verse 17 in chapter 19, please. "This became the known both to the old Jews and Greeks and dwelling in Ephesus. Fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. They counted up the value of them. It totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. And the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed." You see, Ephesus, we're going to talk more about the city of Ephesus next time. It is a stronghold of Satan. There were many evil things, both superstitious and the satanic stuff were practiced. Books containing formula for the sorcery and other ungodly forbidden arts were plentiful in that city. Before the Sons of Sceva's incident, there were many believers did not know the difference whether it was good to practice or not in Christianity. But now they were prompt to renounce any remaining connection to the demonic things. They also renounced the demonic influence in their lives by confessing and burning their magic books and disregarding whatever the value they had. Now, according to Bible students, 50,000 pieces of silver are equivalent to $1 to $5 million. A lot of money. They didn't think about the value of those things. They just discard them. Had a nice bonfire. The thing is, there is something more blazing in their heart. More fearsome fire burning that's in their heart. They no longer want old time things, before Christ things. They want what God wants. Have you ever heard the phrase, "If the look could kill, you're dead," right? I was teaching this portion, this first service, I had that look from somebody. If the look could kill, I would be there right behind in this pulpit. Let me say this. Listen carefully. Whether it doesn't matter what kind of background, ethnic background, racial background, or whatever the background you have. Listen carefully, please. As with the Ephesians, the Holy Spirit searched out and exposed our hidden closet of the worldly junk. When he does, we also must confess their existence in our lives to the Lord and disclose the preoccupation with them. And then destroy them. Admittedly, the bonfire is painful and costly, but it is also freeing and gloriously life-changing and severing the ties to the former worldly connection. Let's be more practical. Christian must also do this today, removing books, magazines, images, computer files, and stature. Here's where I start to go in a little more detail. Listen. Whether it's a statue of Buddha, or statue of Kachina, or Kokopelli, ask yourself, what are they representing? Ancestor worship, magic art, what is white magic, black magic, I don't know what the difference, but magic is magic, it's against the word of God. Kachina though, you may say, well, I paid $400 for that. Okay, so what? What does that represent? Bringing down the ancestor spirit. Buddhism, what does that little fat boy sitting, squatting down represent? Let me say this. My daddy used to carve this Korean traditional building. At the end of this building, the roof line has a bunch of gargoyles sitting. That each one of gargoyles representing protector of that building. When I came to the United States in 1981, I brought some of them because it's my daddy's stuff. Valuable, precious stuff. It's the only connection, physical connection between me and my daddy. When I became a Christian in 1987, I realized what I had in my hand. You know what I did? Drop it in the garbage can. I have nothing to do with any. Yes, my connection between me and my daddy is still there. I love him. I respect him. But I don't want anything to do with the gargoyle. None of that would stay in my home. All the dragon stuff went out of my home. Anything to do with the demonic thing went out of my home. Are you willing to do that? If I die right now, right here, you can search all my stuff. I'm not bragging, I'm just saying this. You will not be able to find anything hidden that is going against the Word of God. Because I determined not to know anything other than Jesus Christ whom crucified. That's how I want to live, that's how I want to die. So I'm challenging you. If you have anything that would hinder your walk with God, if anything that hinder your representation of Jesus Christ, get them out of your life. This is when I got that look. And then, of course, our elder, I said to him, he said, is that the first time you got that look? He said, no. And he said, it's not going to be the last time either. Nothing should be more important than your relationship with the Savior. He died for your sin. Amen? Yeah. Is there anything that you would not do for Him? Is the Kachina door so important that you would not dump that thing? And you may say, well, I will sell it on eBay. I'll give my money to church. No, thank you. God does not need that money. And you don't need to sell that thing to somebody so that somebody will be involved with the Kachina things. Just destroy it. Turn your Bible to the First John chapter 2. Why am I yelling? Chapter 2, verse 15. I don't care if you don't like me. Join the club. Many people don't like me anyway. Verse 15, please. Let's read this carefully. Do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of Father is what? Amen. Is it clear enough for you? You choose between God or demonic things. Your choice. Two applications. Number one, sever. Let me say one more time. Sever the tie, any tie that takes you back to your sin. Because remember that our sinful pattern often have its root to the before Christ year. And each refusal to break that connection, our heart get harder and harder. Am I making sense? And next time when you are supposed to refuse, your heart will say no. Because your heart is seared. Second application, be pliable to God's command regardless what costs you. Because He does not ask you to discard something that you need for godly living. Whether it's songs that you like to sing or any other thing. By the way, in case any of you like AC/DC songs, in case any of you like AC/DC songs, do you know what the AC/DC stand for originally? Antichrist, Devil's Child. It's not the power AC/DC. That's their claim because they, obviously it's not good publicity to have Antichrist and against Christ and Devil's Child. So they changed the power of the current baloney. Would you like to listen to that kind of songs? Guns N' Roses? Or all this hard metal rock? If you want a hard metal rock, there's the Christians who can do the hard metal rock, banging their head against something. There are plenty of good songs that worship the Lord and edify you. Amen?